You better come on in my kitchen. There's hard to be raining out door.
Come over here, kid. Why, sir? You never know, you might have to cook for 20 guys someday. You see, you start out with a little bit of water. And you fry some garlic. Then you throw in some tomatoes, tomato paste, you fry it, you make sure it doesn't stick. You got it to a boil, you shove in all your sausage and your meatballs. And a little bit of wine. A little bit of sugar.
Delicious.
And that's my trick.
When the moon hits your eye like a bigger pizza pie, that's amore.
Enough. I'm so sick and tired of hearing you people talk about food, food, food. That's all anybody ever talks about.
Good evening and welcome to Mouthful, the wine country's most delicious hour. I'm Michelle Anna Jordan. Thanks for joining me this evening. It's going to be a great adventure because tonight we're going back to Hawaii. We're going to Hilo on the wet east side of the Big Island, where I spent a couple of weeks in April. Tonight, we hear two interviews about kava kava, or ava as the Hawaiians call it. Ava is an ancient beverage enjoyed for 3,000 years in what is known as the Polynesian Triangle. It has always been considered sacred, a drink of the royalty and of the gods. Today, there are ava bars popping up all over the islands. On the island of Hawaii, there are at least four, one in Hawaii, one in Kailua Kona, one in downtown Hilo, and one in the little village of Kalapana, Uncle Robert's Ava Bar, which is my personal favorite. First, we go to the Hilo Farmers Market on a rainy Saturday morning.
Hi, my name is Adele, and we are at the Farmers Market in Hilo, Hawaii, and this is ParadiseKava.com's booth. Welcome.
How long have you been selling Ava here?
We've been selling Ava for 3 years now, and I was very fortunate to be adopted by a Hawaiian family way down in Kalapana at the very end of the road, and they taught me everything I know about Ava, about growing it, about its sacredness, about medicinal use, about how to treat it in general.
Before we go into those details, I think we probably need to tell people what exactly is Ava. I mean, in plant form, you hear the word a lot, but I don't think most people know what it is.
Simply put, kavas is a plant that grows in the Polynesian Triangle. So we're saying from Vanuatu all the way down to the Hawaiian chains of islands. And its botanical name is Piper methesticum. The root of the ava plant, when ground up and mixed with water, creates a very relaxing and stress-free effect. And also, most of the times, creates a euphoric feeling in the drinker's body. It is a it's a great natural supplement for relaxation, from anything from relaxation to heroin addicts who are trying to get off cold turkey. This piece of information is from the ex-president of the Ava Council in Hawaii. And that's what they've been using it in halfway houses now, because it's non-habit forming and it's powerful. It helps people, you know, it helps people get off substances that they're having trouble getting off.
Does it produce any form of intoxication?
Yes, it does. It's just to compare it quickly to, say, for example, alcohol or marijuana. Ava gives the drinker a very clear sense of being. So you feel like yourself. You don't feel like you're somebody else. On the other hand, I wouldn't drive. It's very deceptive that you feel, oh, I can be fine. I can do things and stuff, but you really can't. Because when consumed to a certain degree, it kind of, I don't recommend it. You feel like everything goes faster than it is. You feel like yourself. You can be perfectly functional, but it can also, I don't recommend it. Operating heavy machinery.
It can be impaired. You can be a little impaired.
Yes, it can impair your motor skills, definitely.
How is it, when does someone drink it? I mean, can we talk about that both from the traditional point of view? What was its role in Hawaii, for example? And when do people drink it now?
Its traditional role in Polynesia is very different from what I'm noticing now as, you know, we say the mainland culture is doing with it. Traditionally, mothers in Hawaii would give a particular ava, say for example, ava nene. Nene in Hawaiian is child, you know, fretful child. They give it to a child when it's teething. And it's very, very young, and it's, you know, just in pain because its teeth are trying to come out. And the Hawaiian mother would just take a little bit and rub it against the gums of the child. And this would alleviate its pain because ava at first, good kava at first, ava, kava, you know, the same thing, will totally numb your mouth. So the child just goes into this state of just peaceful relaxation. And it's been used for burns. The ava leaf is heated and then put on burns, and that helps with that. From what I've heard from kipunas, a kipuna is a Hawaiian elder who only deals in, who only uses medicinal plants for medicinal purposes, not recreational purposes. It is not used recreationally so much. It's used more medicinally for joints, joint aches and pains, for definitely for children. And things like those that, you know, things in that area. Let's put it
What about things like anxiety, insomnia, and also the nutritional realm?
Now we get more to the mainstream uses of ava today, which is, you know, anxiety, insomnia, a lot for motion sickness. A lot of people are preferring to use ava right before they board a flight. I have studies and research from the University of Manoa, a professor I collaborate with, and he has studies that ava, when consumed before a stressful situation, does not raise the blood pressure of the person consuming it when the stressful situation happens, if they've been drinking ava before, which is, you know, it's a breakthrough, I think. There's some research with cancer, with, you know, it's helping with cancer and stuff. I can't quote too much on it because I'd like to have research to back it up. I do have the research for this, you know, the blood pressure thing. And quite a few people, at least here in my 3 years that I've noticed, do want to use it medicinally. They're having trouble sleeping, or people are, you know, anxious. I mean, having panic attacks. Quite a few people are buying it for, farmers buy it for muscle aches and pains and things like that. Just a lot of people who are having trouble sleeping. You know, you put a teaspoon of ava in a glass of water, and it helps you sleep. You know, it really does work for that. Once again, it varies from person to person's bodies, but in general, it does work.
How did you, I mean, you talk about a Hawaiian family adopted you. What brought you to the islands, and what intrigued you about ava? How did you get into the business?
What brought me to the islands was I moved here from Chicago in 2005 to study sustainability and permaculture and farming in general. I feel like a change in my lifestyle is necessary. And
what were you doing in Chicago?
Well, I've worked for artsupply.com. I actually ran an internet business, and I was their shipping manager, and I had a great time doing it. I was their go-to guy for pretty much all their shipping needs and stuff like that. And then when I moved here, within weeks, I met Uncle Robert Kele'ihumalu down at a kava bar in Kalapana.
O Kalapana, Kaleonui, Uarono Kauka Ohore, Ewana Kalapana. Kale o
Now, bear in mind, I had never tried kava until this point. I moved here when I was 25, right about 4 or 5 years ago. But the first time I drank it, what I remember is that I drank about 14 cups. I just drank because, you know, this was spread out throughout an entire evening. And I just had the most wonderful conversation with him. And within weeks, you know, this guy, there is something in Hawaii called the Hanai system where, you know, older Hawaiian families will just, when I say older, I mean massive families. Uncle Robert has 11 children, 35 grandchildren, so on and so forth. And they have a system where they will, if they feel like you can work with them and you have similar ideals and they just, you know, you just, there's a love bond without a family relation bond. They adopt you. And I was very surprised because Uncle simply asked me, why don't you live here? And I, you know, sort of took me back. I said, what do you mean, why don't I live here? He said, well, you've just moved here. You're studying farming. I know a lot about it. Why don't you live here? And he asked me again at a few weeks later when I was visiting the kava bar again. I was very surprised. And years later, years after that event, because I lived there for about 2 years behind the kava bar, he told me, the reason I adopted you was because you and I have one heart and one mind. And I saw that right away. And he said, let that be a lesson to you. If you ever take people onto your land, make sure that you have one mind and one heart. So I remember that even now. What intrigued me about kava was that I have an addictive personality. I was drinking quite a bit of alcohol back then. And I was sort of, you know, I was not very happy with alcohol simply because I like to be aware and clear and of what I'm doing. Kava I'll drink, you know, once a month, twice a month, and I'm fine with it. I don't crave it. I don't miss it. I look forward to it in a social setting, and that's about it. So that what attracted me to kava was really the ability that kava gives the drinker, which is to really calm down. And kava really helped me slow down and see very clearly what it is that's either bothering me or I'm anxious about and that I didn't know I was anxious about, and I could really just slow down and take my time with things and just sort of clear my mind. There is nothing, I have never come across anything that is not so invasive. And the reason I got into the business is I just fell in love with the plant. I studied it. I'm very fortunate to know some amazing people on the Hawaiian Islands and on other islands who, you know, are my suppliers and people here who have helped me with anything from growing techniques to harvesting techniques to even how to talk to the plant, when to harvest, you know, which cycle of the moon to harvest it in.
When do you harvest? What moon cycle?
Some people say, once again, you know, this varies from person to person. My understanding is you wait for a full moon's night. Yeah, you wait for a full moon's night to plant it, and, you know, just when the moon is around, it's generally a good thing, because the Hawaiian culture is a moon-based culture. There's a lot of fishing, hunting, planting done in conjunction with the cycles of the moon.
So now you sell it already ground up, the root dried and ground, right? Do you grow it? Do you harvest it? You know, tell us about the process.
We do grow it. We don't grow enough of it because it's a very long... It's a very long crop. It takes a minimum of 3 to 5 years. Yeah, nothing less than 3 years is even worth harvesting, because you'll end up with kava that's not as potent, the yield isn't as much, and, you know, it's premature. It's a long crop. It needs a certain amount of trimming, because we have a lot of things that love to eat kava and destroy kava plants here in Hawaii. So it takes a certain amount of care to make sure that the plant is healthy, and that, you know, the nematodes and the other bugs associated with kava are not getting into it and destroying the stalk first and the root second. But after a certain amount of time, 3 to 5 years, the root is big enough, say 50, 60 pounds.
One root is that big?
A minimum. If it's fed right, I've even harvested a plant that was 130 pounds out of the ground. And its net weight was 80 pounds. And it was this massive, you know. I mean, it takes a couple of people to even lift it. So when it comes out of the ground, it's power washed. And then there are two ways to use it. I could either wash it, grind it up, which is quite a tedious process, because kava is a lot like rock. When it when it's dried, I mean, it's like rock. You can't just grind it in a Cuisinart or something. You need a hammer mill, a vertical pounder, because it's just a very, very tough fruit. Even when it's wet and straight out of the ground, it's just very difficult to grind up. Let's just leave it at that. Cleaning it is very important because you don't want dust and other little bits and pieces in there that are not from the root part. You don't want any stems, any leaves. This is very important because there is quite a bit of research that is very clear on this, that anything above the ground, like the leaves and things, are not to be drank.
Yeah, wasn't there something about European kava or some kava being made with roots and stems and it causes liver damage or something? That was, I think, in the early 90s.
Yeah, this was about 6 to 7 years ago, which completely ruined the kava industry. You have to realize that kava is about 3,000 years old in the Polynesian Triangle. It is drunk on pretty much any Polynesian island. You could go to Ponape and they will say, you want some sakau, and it's the same thing. And you could go to Fiji and they'll say, would you like yangona? It's the same thing. You could go to Vanuatu and they'll say, how about a bowl of bishlama? It's the same thing. You know, you could go to American Samoa, Cook Islands, Solomon Islands, Bikini Islands. I mean, I could go on and on. So this is a very old culture, and people here know how to treat kava. They understand that there are parts of it that, you know, are usable, and there are parts of it that are just for planting. They're not to be ground up and drunk. I have full faith in it. I mean, I think it's an extremely powerful and a very loving plant.
Yeah, you've mentioned things like it being loving, also that you've learned how to talk to it. What is kava like to hear?
My mother taught me this, that when you talk to a plant, it helps the plant grow. And when I met Uncle Robert, I saw him do the same thing. He goes into the garden and he starts talking to the ava plant. And I'm surprised. I'm going, what is this man doing? And he just very lovingly says, okay, grow big and don't be shy. I think what it reminded me was that there is a way to do things that is forgotten, but that works. And once again, I leave it up to you whether it really does work, but to me it works.
And we should say that here at the Hilo Farmers Market, you also sell kava by the cup. $2
yeah.
a cup?
Yeah.
Yeah. So how do you make your kava? Or ava, I should say, and how do you make it into a beverage?
Well, let's just stick with two right now, a cold method and a warm method. The cold method is you just take the ava in just room temperature water. We'll call it cold. And basically the ava root is ground up. So it comes out of the ground, it's dried in the sun, and then it's pounded, basically. And after that, it has to go into a cheesecloth or a some sort of a strainable bag, you know, a cheesecloth or a nut milk bag. You could put it in that, and then it's squeezed out into a bowl of water.
My understanding is you put it in the bowl of water, and then you knead
Absolutely.
The bag.
Absolutely.
Knead it. And is what's happening is the fibers are staying inside the bag, and the powder.
Yeah.
The dried kava is going into the water?
Absolutely. So technically, when you see a bag of kava that says 100% root, everything in that bag is drinkable kava. You could drink the whole of it because it's all kava root. However, those particles are very annoying. You know, you don't want to drink all of them because it's just a very coarse and a very difficult drink.
Yes, very fibery.
Very fibery. So what you do is you put it in a bag and then you knead it and wring out the finer particles. Kava will not dissolve in water. It is insoluble. So as soon as you wring it out, it immediately settles down at the bottom, which is why they stir every cup right away and then drink it fast. The warm method is you let it soak in warm water for maybe an hour or 2 hours. This sort of lets the warm water go into the root and expand it a little bit. So when you squeeze it, you get more kava out. You get more kava lactones out. About 15 to 20% is what you'll get out into a bowl of kava lactones. Once again, it is not the most efficient way to drink kava because you do waste quite a bit, but it is as good as you can do it with straining kava. And the third method that was is from a friend of mine who is the university professor in Honolulu, is he will take three bowls. So for example, if you're going to use a certain amount of kava, whatever proportion, you know, is written on the bag, say a couple of tablespoons, a cup or something, he'll take the same bag into the first bowl, you know, soak it, squeeze it, wring it out, put it into the second bowl, do the same, and put it into the third bowl, and do the same, thereby extracting it in a new batch of water three times to get the most out. So, you know, there are different tips and tricks that have been that have evolved over the years. And then, of course, there is alcohol presses, which we make tinctures from, which is you just leave it in either apple cider vinegar or alcohol, you know, food-grade alcohol, and it extracts the kavalactones. And, of course, the most powerful and potent and non-invasive way, you know, non-heat-treated way, which is carbon dioxide extraction. I mean, that cannot be beat.
How does that work?
It's a complicated process, and it's pharmaceutical grade, but it's basically kava. The kava is, you know, put into a spinning vat, and it's just carbon dioxide is introduced, and what comes out there is 60 to 70% kavalactones. Now, just to remind you, if you did it in a cup, in a bowl, you know, the squeezing it out with the cheesecloth, you only get 15 to 20%.
Oh, so a lot is just going into compost or something.
A lot is just composted. But traditional Hawaiian way and traditional Polynesian way, that is the way to do it. It tastes totally different than, you know, a carbon dioxide extraction. And one has to find out what is the easiest way for them to take kava. Because kava is definitely an acquired taste. You know, it tastes a bit like ginseng because it's a root. It tastes a bit bitter. Ava in Hawaiian means bitter. So it tastes a bit bitter. And it's definitely an acquired taste. People drink it. You know, I love the feeling of it. But I definitely had to, you know, acquire it. And it's not that difficult. I mean, I prefer it, actually.
It's sort of earthy.
Yeah, it's sort of earthy. And some people taste cinnamon in it. Some people just taste nutmeg and other spices in it as well. But it has a taste of its own. You have either... You like it or you don't like it.
Now, there was someone selling kava at the Moku Farmers Market, and he described a process, and I could not keep up with him. He described a process by which his ava, tastes sweet. Now, I drank a cup, and it was very strong in that my mouth was really numb, and it tasted very sweet, and I could not for the life of me figure out what he possibly could have done. I felt like he had added coconut sugar, but he said he didn't.
I couldn't tell you anything.
So you don't know any process where the kava actually takes on a sweet flavor naturally?
No, not that I'm aware of. Yeah, I'm just simply not aware of it. I mean, you know, when I speak of capsules and alcohol extracts and kavalactone extracts and carbon dioxide extracts, most of the guys, you know, that we drink kava with, they just scoff at me. They're like, whatever. Because really the only way to drink it is simple, clean water, cold water, and kava root. The purists don't want anything else introduced to their kava, and I'm one of them. That's the way I like it, and that's the only way I really get to appreciate it.
Yeah, and I like it, and I've tasted it with coconut milk added, and pineapple juice added, and I like my kava neat.
Yeah, although we do have quite a few recipes, you know, for like smoothie recipes and just using the right spices like cinnamon, nutmeg, earthier spices complement kava. You know, there are recipes to make kava a little more, just a little more mainstream. But just a lot of people who buy kava from me don't have trouble with that. Yeah. They just like it, you know.
Is there any possibility, danger, anything in that area that the use of kava will be restricted every now and then? You hear, in California, certainly there was a man who was arrested they tried to charge him with driving under the influence because he had been at an office ceremony. Right. Every now and then you hear, it's going to be made illegal in California, that sort of thing. Any drumbeat about that?
The only thing I can say is, imagine a 3,000-year-old culture that has no problems with it and that is using it not only for recreational purposes but mainly for ceremonial and traditional purposes. For, you know, my only advice to people drinking kava, and I repeatedly say this, is do not drink kava and operate heavy machinery.
But you haven't heard anything about pending legislation or anything?
No, absolutely not. Okay. Yeah, but I sincerely do not believe that kava is harmful, because I myself drink quite a bit of it. And I mean, you know, and it's not something I've drank from birth. It's an acquired taste, and I've just had great success with it personally. So I have heard of no legislation or, but you know, it's like anything. Anything can be taken to the extreme. I mean, you know, people take sugar to the extreme. You know, so I think it's always nice to remember that it is powerful, and it's to be treated with respect. And one needs to understand their own capacity and their own tolerance for it.
Okay, Adil, thanks so much. It was great. And now I'm going to have a cup of kava.
Thank you. Enjoy.
Just a couple of blocks north of the Hilo Farmers Market is the newest kava cafe, Bayfront Coffee, Kava, and Tea Company, where Dave Stevenson loves to talk about his favorite beverage with a steady stream of customers walking through the door.
We're sitting here at downtown Hilo, Kamehameha Avenue. I'm looking at someone drinking kava, or Ava. It's the owner of
Bayfront Coffee, Kava, and Tea Company, also known as the Bayfront Kava Bar.
And you've been here, what, about a year and a half?
But that's correct, about a year and a half. We opened in December of 2007, and it's been an interesting year and a half. The business is still continuing to grow in spite of the ups and downs of our economy, mostly downs, unfortunately. But people are still discovering us and coming in and realizing that kava is a good thing.
So tell me about your kava. First of all, you have it in a bowl, a big wooden, would you call it a bowl or is it something else?
It's actually, the kava bowl is called a tanoa, or some people call it a kanoa. It's a round bottom bowl because the kava resin tends to settle to the bottom very quickly. So with a round bottom bowl, it's easy to stir it prior to serving somebody. The kava that we use is all Hawaiian. It's Hawaiian varieties as well as grown in Hawaii. It's certified organic, and we prefer to use fresh root when we make our kava as opposed to dried root. It comes out tasting a little better, although most people really don't drink kava for the flavor. They drink it for the effect, which is mostly relaxing and calming, and some varieties produce a little bit of euphoria as well.
And so does the effect change depending on the variety?
There are very pronounced differences in the effects that you feel depending on the variety of kava, or ava as it's called in the Hawaiian language, as well as the age of the plant. The age of the plant will determine the overall concentration of the kava lactones, which are the bio-nutrients in the roots of the plant that make you feel good. The older the plant, the healthier the plant, then the higher the concentration of those kava lactones. The variety will determine the predominance of one kava lactone over another, which is why some of the varieties were more noted for muscular effects and some for more of a cerebral effect. In the ancient times, the first Hawaiians brought kava, or ava as they call it, with them in their canoes. It was the other sacred root besides kalo, or taro, as we know it. The ava, originally there were four varieties that came with the ancient Hawaiians, and over the years, through natural mutations, there were several more varieties that were cultivated and identified. When the white missionaries came to Hawaii, they decided that kava was not good and it needed to be eradicated. So some of the varieties were lost in the prohibition that followed. Fortunately for us, the Hawaiians didn't listen to the missionaries, and they carried ava into the gullies and up in the mountains where the invaders couldn't find it. and took care of it, and so we still have Ava today. Those so-called ancient wild patches, though, out in the forest reserves, are really not wild. They were planted and cultivated by somebody who has long since gone on to another life. And most of the remaining big patches of Ava out in the forest preserves have been radio tagged to prevent people from pilfering them, because they are treasures. They're ethnobotanical treasures that need to be preserved. And it's okay to take a cutting from them and take it back to your farm and propagate, because that is how Ava is propagated, is through cuttings of the stems. The stalk of the plant has nodes on it that look very similar to bamboo, but the stalk is not hollow. It's a solid woody stalk. And from each of those nodes, you can generate a new plant. So that's the way it's been done for thousands of years. And I have another customer.
So you're going to pour some kava?
Yes. First, we're going to try the traditional style of kava. I make two different varieties here, or two different styles of the kava drink. The traditional style is made using fresh kava root and purified water. The root is placed into a strainer bag, put into the bowl, water is added, and you mix and do a little lomi-lomi on the root, and then you pull it all out of the water and you squeeze out the resin. You repeat that process until you just can't get any more out. We also make another style, which is the way that the royalty or the ali'i of Hawaii used to have their kava. Certain varieties were reserved only for use by the ali'i, while others were available to the citizens or the kanaka. The ali'i would have their ava produced using fresh coconut water from young coconuts, such as this one right here.
Okay.
When you get a young coconut, it has a lot more of the coconut water in there, which is a refreshing drink, has a lot of electrolytes and magnesium and other nutrients in there as well. It makes the kava a little tastier. It also makes it a little more potent.
Oh, so something happens between the coconut milk and the ava that either extracts more or boosts the effect?
With the I've run a lot of experiments, and using the exact same amount of kava per gallon, of fresh kava root per gallon of finished product, using fresh coconut water, which still has a lot of enzyme activity as well as a little bit of coconut oil in there, you will get a more thorough extraction of the kava lactones from the fresh root than using purified water. It also makes the finished product a little more palatable, and it seems to deliver it into your body more efficiently as well. You notice it a lot quicker.
Oh, okay. How did you get involved in Ava?
My first experience with kava was about 15 or 16 years ago. I was working for a juice company in California by the name of Adwala. At one time, I was over the R&D and quality assurance departments at the manufacturing plant. And we received a sample of kava extract from somebody that wanted us to try it in our drinks. So a few of us gathered in one of the offices after work and decided to give it a try. And we had a very small sample, but it was contraband strength material. And so there were three of us, and we each selected the smoothie of our choice and put a dropper full of this extract in there and shook it up and drank it. And it was very interesting, the effects that we felt. But we couldn't really get past the taste. I did get more, a larger sample sent out, and we did some trials with different products, but the corporate offices just really didn't want to go with it. So there was some bad press about kava at the time.
Yeah, there was the problem with the tainted, I think, European stuff.
Right. In the late 80s and early 90s, kava became quite popular as nutraceutical companies scoured the earth for ethnobotanical treasures and brought them back to Europe and America to assist people with helping, you know, in their own ways, whatever they needed. And from Vanuatu, they came back with kava. Vanuatu is generally recognized as the birthplace of kava, and some of the world's strongest kava comes from Vanuatu even to this day. Product became very popular in Europe, and people realized that they could use kava instead of some of the toxic pharmaceuticals that were prescribed for him for a variety of different ailments. And that probably didn't sit too well with some of the pharmaceutical companies. So my take on what happened is that, well, and this is based in now looking back and having people having done a proper investigation, they found that one company made a kava extract, and they used instead of just using the roots, they also used the stalks and the leaves, and they used acetone as their solvent. And so they extracted not only the kava lactones, but also some toxic alkaloids that are present in the stalk. And they did not analyze their product for those alkaloids. They didn't know to look for them. There's probably a little toxic residue from the acetone as well. And so this rot gut product made its way into the marketplace in Europe. And a number of people who used the products that were made from that became ill. A few people died of liver failure. And it probably had nothing to do with the kava and everything to do with improper manufacturing. 5,000 years, 3,000 years of traditional wisdom was thrown out the window for greed.
Okay. I like your ava. I think, you know, no. I like it. I like that earthy savor.
It is an earthy, rooty taste. And when it's made properly, it's not really bitter.
No,
it's not
bitter.
Sour.
I haven't had it bitter or sour.
It's and it is, we refrigerate our ava as soon as we make it. Treat it just like we would fresh juice.
Now, how long in advance can you make it?
Well, if you properly make the ava and refrigerate it, I've done some pretty extensive shelf life studies, my 20 years in the juice business with companies such as Adwala and Tropicana kind of conditioned me to that. And the traditional style kava will last in the refrigerator easily for 2 weeks.
Oh.
Now, it would be a shame for it to last in your refrigerator that long. It means you're so stressed out that you can't even drink the kava in your own refrigerator. I think it's time to look at your life. And I've got more customers.
So, what were we doing? We were talking about the Ali'i one.
The Ali'i one. And there's a couple of reasons why we make a Ali'i style. First of all, here at Bayfront Kava Bar, we feel that the customer is queen or king, as the case may be. So we better have a Ali'i style available
for
you if you demand it. In ancient times, you would not have disappointed the king or the queen. you couldn't even. And the other reason, and if you go down to the King statue down here at Wailoa Park, a couple of things you'll notice. One is at the foot of the King statue, you will see one Hawaiian-style apu, which is the coconut shell. And that one is, unless somebody's ripped it off, it is full of Ali'i-style kava made right here. Because when we make a batch, we take an offering to the King out of respect for our Hawaiian brothers and sisters. And it's something that my chief appreciates, and I do it.
Now, when you say your chief,
well, I've adopted a chief. He is, and actually, you had asked the question, how did I get into kava?
Yeah.
About 4 years ago, I was here in Hilo for a job interview, and during that time here, I spotted a kava bar. It was my first opportunity to try fresh kava the way the ancient Hawaiians had it. It was a tiny little place right down the street. It's no longer there. But I went, and there was a young lady behind the bar, and there was a Hawaiian guy sitting at the bar staring into his ava shell. After I asked about the different types of kava they had, I decided on the traditional variety. When I ordered it, the Hawaiian guy said, "Good choice." And I turned, and because when you drink kava, it promotes social interaction. So we started talking, and it turned out that the gentleman I was talking to was Mr. Jerry Konanui, who is president of the Association for Hawaiian Ava. He is also just a wonderful person all around, and has taken up the fight against genetic modification of the sacred crops, taro and coffee. He's extremely knowledgeable on the subject of ava, and a contributor to the book here, Hawaiian Ava Views of an Ethnobotanical Treasure. I love Jerry, what can I say? He is such a wonderful man, and as Hawaiian as you can get. And I consider him my chief.
That's a nice thing.
Jerry has, on numerous occasions here in our kava bar, has declared that I make the best ava in the entire archipelago, and I don't take that endorsement lightly. You couldn't buy that endorsement.
What is it that makes your kava different, better?
Well, I think to start with, the fact that we use fresh root, Hawaiian grown, certified organic.
Where do you get it?
I get it from a number of different farms, some here on the Big Island, one over on Molokai. And I'm currently working with some farmers on the island of Kauai to start getting some of their product as well. All the Ava people tend to be a small, close-knit ohana, or family, as they say in Hawaiian. And so we try to help each other out. I'm constantly encouraging more farmers to plant Ava. And I'm engaged in some propagation myself. Hope to one day have my own farm full of ava, as well as other crops. Farming's been in my blood for a long time. So, but after having ava fresh, I could never go back. The extract is okay, but fresh is better.
I've actually never had the extract.
The extra, and we do carry ava in a variety of forms. We've got it in extract, we've got it in instant powder, we've got dried ground up root, we've even got ava in chocolate bars, which I highly recommend for that long plane flight from here to anywhere. It will reduce the anxiety of leaving the islands, And it makes it's the most economical and enjoyable way to upgrade your seat. For $5, you go from economy to first class.
And on that note, you have another customer.
I have another customer.
Okay, so that's the E.
So now that you've tried the traditional style, I'd like for you to try the Ali'i style of kava. We make this using fresh young coconuts, which we open up with a coconut auger and drain the water out through a strainer cloth, and then we use that water to make the kava. And as you may notice, it will be a little smoother, a little sweeter.
I've had ava with coconut milk and with coconut, the stuff that's sweeter. This is not overpoweringly sweet. It's really delicate, it's making me feel like a princess.
As you should. The Ali'i style, done properly, is simply replacing the water in the process with fresh coconut water. Some places may add some processed coconut water or even coconut milk, which is a completely different product, to their ava, but they don't, not to my knowledge, does anybody else offer true Ali'i style.
Well, it's really, really lovely. I have two more questions. One, are there any reservations, restrictions, anything anyone should know? As I sip this kava, am I becoming impaired in any way?
The official party line, mm-hmm. when purveying any herbal product whatsoever in this land of litigation that we live in now, is to say the FDA has not evaluated any of these statements with regard to any sort of health benefits. And then you also throw in the probably not a good idea to operate machinery after consuming ava. That's really for my benefit,
sure,
because okay. I can tell you from experience that the notion that kava is an intoxicant is not really valid. You can drink ava here in the kava bar all night long until your ears are ringing and your mouth feels a little dry and your muscles are so relaxed that walking feels a little different. But your mind is still clear and sharp. And when you go, you can drive right up to the DUI checkpoint and they will wave you right through. Now, there's been, and I don't know, this to me sounds like an urban legend, that somebody was pulled over in the People's Republic of California for driving.
No, it actually is not urban legend. That did happen. It was a case a few years ago. And I followed it on the news.
So somebody, was pulled over. They weren't driving very well.
It was someone who wasn't driving well.
What I tell people is, if you could drive before,
right,
you will still be able to drive.
I think this was the situation of someone who couldn't drive very well the next day either.
It won't improve your driving ability if you are a poor driver to start with. But my experience is it has not impaired me ever, whether in driving or other situations where your reflexes are called into action. Ava is wonderful. There's never a hangover. You feel refreshed in the morning, and you get a good night's sleep. There have been nights when I've left here after drinking some of the more electric varieties of kava, and I got home under the stars late at night, looking up at the stars and feeling total euphoria. and saying to myself, so this is why they brought it with them in their canoes. You know, because if it wasn't important, they wouldn't have brought it. I can just picture, oh, nephew, keep paddling. I think there's land ahead. Keep going. You know, you would only bring those things that were very precious to you. And Ava was one of them, for good reason.
Now, you have on your shirt a T-shirt that I believe says, I with a heart, Kava, and there's a picture of the tell me the name of the bowl again.
It's called an apu.
An apu, yes, and it's sitting on a piece of bamboo to elevate it and to keep it from tipping over, because it's round, and it's next to the large wooden bowl where the kava is made. Over the heart, with just a little bit of the heart still showing, you have taped what I'm going to assume is an Ava leaf.
Absolutely.
Any particular reason other than it's just sort of lighthearted and sweet?
We yesterday we actually were filming a short segment on preparing Ava for the public access TV station, and so I plucked a leaf from the plant that we have in the little pocket park right out front. And it was still here this morning, and the Ava leaf, it, as you've noted, is heart-shaped. Some people would say, and I would agree with them, that that's the part of the body that it affects. It's your heart. It makes you more loving. It's called the friendship drink because after about two or three shells, it's really impossible to be mad at anybody. And even to this day, when people have a dispute, they will come together over a tanoa of Ava. And before they can even start talking about what their differences are, they have to drink some Ava. Sometimes with a mediator, sometimes without. But once they've consumed two or three shells, then they can start talking about, okay, so what was it, that, you know, what's the problem?
So it's like the peace route.
It is the peace route. There is no question about that. And that's why I became involved with it, is I love to promote that feeling of peacefulness and love. When you come in our shop, you'll notice a small sign right over the door. That's one word. It says love. That says it all.
That's very sweet. And it's a great note to end on, except I need to know, do you do any mail order? Can people buy any of your products either through the internet or by calling?
We do have a website. Our address is organichawaiiankava.com, all strung together. And we try to work on it when we can. We recently, my partner and I recently had a baby. And
congratulations.
He is a true miracle child. In fact, I'd like to show you a picture. Here he is in the kava bowl.
Oh, gosh, that is adorable. Robert Xavier Stevenson.
And so mom is spending a little more time at home, where she can work at the computer. We do mail order of various kava products, and it's an ever-expanding list of products that we offer. We will ship frozen certified organic Hawaiian kava to anywhere that FedEx will take it. It's for those that want to produce their own. We also have a very popular product, which is a true instant powder. It was made into the drink, and then the water was evaporated. And many people have come in and purchased these instant kava packets to send to their loved ones in the armed forces over in the Middle East, where they can't drink alcohol because of the Islam in the countries that they're stationed in. And maybe you wouldn't want to be drinking alcohol when the steel rain starts coming down. Ava, on the other hand, can reduce the anxiety of the separation from your loved ones and not knowing who's going to be shooting at you when. It also helps with the sore muscles. You know, our men and women are carrying around a lot of equipment when they're out there protecting our freedom. And it doesn't fog your mind. So when it is time to react to a situation, you're ready to go.
Well, David, thank you so much. I hope you have a great season. And I look forward to visiting the Ava Bar again.
Well, thank you, Michelle, for coming here and visiting us at what I'd like to think is the most beautiful Ava Bar around. Our countertop, by the way, as I know you wanted to know, this is made from one avocado tree that grew about 25 miles north of here. The bar itself is over 19 feet long, and we've got an epoxy coating on it. And a lot of people come in and think that it's koa, but there's no way I would have participated in the slaughter of such a large koa tree. The avocado tree probably was brought down because of the chocolate heart running through it, which is a type of disease, but it made for the beautiful colors that you
really
see.
Beautiful.
It's been seen in Sunset Magazine and a couple of Japanese publications as well. So we're pretty proud of it. I'd never built anything like this before this project.
It's absolutely gorgeous. Thank you again.
Thank you.
You can check out Bayfront Coffee, Kava, and Tea Company at organichawaiiankava.com. You can reach Paradise Kava at paradisekava.com or by calling 862-GET-AVA. Thanks for tuning in. If you enjoy Mouthful, check out our new page on Facebook. It's Mouthful, the wine country's most delicious hour. Become a fan. Make a comment. Tell us about a topic you'd like me to cover. And then meet me back here next week for another yummy episode of Mouthful here on KRCB. I'm Michelle Anna Jordan.
This time.